Fritzk again, that he might have died in my arms back at the cove. I didn't even want to think about what might have happened back there. I think it's pretty good, actually. Pushing away those somber thoughts, because goddamn it, he'd be fine, I smiled. How does it feel to know I just swallowed your spit? I asked, and forced a chuckle, desperate for distraction.
You've swallowed worse.
He groaned and pushed himself forward to the passenger door.
Let's get out of here before she brings more of that shit.
Be nice. She's the reason you're not having a febrile seizure right now.
The toxin is the reason. But I suspect this dose won't last more than a couple days. The seizures will get worse. So I should get back to the lab.
I scrambled out of the back seat, allowing him to stand up alongside the car. And when he did, he tottered to the side a step. Maybe I should drive.
Maybe not. I just need a minute.
I'm going to thank Francesca again and let her know you're okay. You're sure you're okay to drive?
I'm fine.
Okay, be right back. I jogged back into the shop where Francesca greeted me with a smile, and as I handed off the empty glass, she held up a bag for me. A bit more Black Rock tea. Oh, no, I can't. You've given me so much already. Please, in case his fever returns. As she handed it off to me, she clutched my hand in hers. He's a Bramwell. Yes. I hesitated to admit it, though, already suspicious of her opinions. They've lived on this island a number of years. Just be careful, dear. I offered a smile, in spite of the urge to tell her that what she'd heard about Deverick was nothing but gossip. I will. Take care. When I exited the store, Bramwell was already in the driver's seat, the car revving as he teased me to hurry up. I slid into the passenger side, and he took off back toward the university.
I have to leave on business for a couple of days,
he said, glancing over at me. Oh, okay. Man, today turned out to be a roller coaster, what with Gilchrist's visit and what had happened at the beach. Now the disappointment of him leaving.
Have you registered for next semester?
I'd gotten the email from Langmore, but hadn't taken the time to do that yet. No, not yet, I will.
Good. I'm going to pre-approve you for the second semester in neuroparasitology and my gross anatomy lab.
I thought that was reserved for med students, I countered.
It is, but I'm the professor. I can add whoever the hell I want, if I think they're smart enough to keep up. So make sure to add that one.
A smile teased my lips. What if I don't want to take it?
You'll take it whether you want it or not.
He gripped my thigh and quickly recoiled, jerking the car with his movement. Frowning, he held up his hand, twisting it around as if it were something foreign in front of him. What's wrong?
My sense of feelings returned.
I glanced at his hand and back. Oh, that's fantastic.
That's impossible.
He pulled the car over, off the main road and down some obscure little side street. As the car skidded to a stop, he depressed the lighter. When it popped, he held the heated end of it near his skin, and his frown deepened.
It's reversed.
The toxin is working, then?
I don't think so.
He flexed his hand and curled it into a fist.
I was still numb after the injection.
Puzzled, I shook my head. Then how?
What did she give me back at the apothecary?
I didn't see everything, just Caliphos, I think. And elderflower, and the tea, of course. I tugged the small satchel she'd gifted from my bag and handed it to him. He snatched it out of my hands and held it up to the light, where the sparkling surface glinted through the bag.
Lilia, this might be what's been missing. This might be what can sustain the toxin.
I mean, it would make sense, right? The birds that don't get infected, the natives who used the black stones as teeth. I gestured toward my own, noticing the tremble from excitement running through me.
I have to test it, to make sure it doesn't degrade the toxin at all, but you might have just figured out a brilliant compliment.
Well, technically I didn't. Before I could finish, he dragged my face to his, crushing my lips with a kiss.
Get over here,
he said, pushing the seat back to a lying position.
Get the fuck over here.
The rough and needy tone of his voice mirrored the need pulsing through me. After the stress of earlier, I'd had a rush of pure adrenaline pumping through me. The prospect of burning it off enticed me enough to move without thinking too much about how the hell we were going to do so in his car. I climbed over the console and straddled his knees in the cramped seat, the steering wheel pressed against my back as he hustled to unbuckle his pants. With hasty hands, he sprang himself free and hiked up my dress.
"The condom,"
he said, staring up at me. The dangerous turbulence in his eyes sent my heart in a frenzy. He looked at me as though he were fantasizing his baby in me, then quickly blinked out of it. Groaning, he lifted his hips just enough to nudge me upward. He stuffed his hands down into his shrugged pants pocket, and after tearing it out of the package, he smoothed the condom over his jutting shaft. I'd only just pulled my panties aside before he took hold of my hips and brought me down over his groin. Already wet, I sank onto him with ease, biting my lower lip as his cock filled and stretched me.
"Fuck."
He tipped his head back, eyes lost to ecstasy. Hand to my nape, he dragged me in for a kiss and pressed our foreheads together. My hand shot out against the window, fingers scratching at the glass, desperate to clutch something, to tear and scratch and claw. My hands longed to destroy, the way he destroyed me from the inside, turning me ravenous and greedy for him.
"You're the fever in my veins,"
he said through clenched teeth as he drove into me with furious determination.
"An incurable madness I can't shake. Fucking you is the only thing that keeps me sane, Lilia."
He fused our lips together, stealing my breath, and when he broke away, his hand moved to my throat, squeezing just enough to part my lips and trap the next breath. A dizzying euphoria swept over me, and my body jostled as he tore the bust of my dress down, exposing my breasts so they bounced and jiggled with every decimating thrust.
"This pussy is all I think about, all I crave. You've infected every part of me, and I can't stop. I can't stop this obsession."
The lack of air, his words, and the feel of his cock filling me had my head in chaos, my body in a state of paralysis. He squeezed tighter, and a mewling sound spilled from my lips.
"No, no quiet sounds from you. I want to hear you fucking scream. You're in the throes of fire now, little moth. Show me how much it burns."
He loosened his hold just enough that I let out a hoarse and throaty moan. I gripped the seat behind him and rode him hard, relishing the pained look of ecstasy on his face when he tipped his head back, jaw tight, veins popping from his neck.
"Ah, fuck."
His fingers dug into my hips as I upped the pace, the wet sounds a testament to how hot the man made me.
"I want to feel you come all over my cock,"
he rasped. The car jerked and bounced with his aggressive thrusts. My moans escalated as a hot, coiling pleasure surged through me. I clenched my eyes, but opened them at a grip of my nape.
"Eyes on me. I want to watch you come."
A bolt of lightning struck my muscles, pulling them to a wire of tension, and his name reverberated inside my skull as I screamed it over and over. He crushed his lips against mine and bit my lower lip as he pulled away.
"You are a merciless vision of perfection."
His hips shifted below, urging me up, and he lifted the hem of my dress as he pulled out of me and slid off the condom, tossing it into a trash receptacle beside him. While I settled back on his thighs, he continued to thrash his cock, and seconds later, hot jets painted my thighs as he directed his release across my flesh. With his lip caught between his teeth, brows pulled tight, neck shimmering with the sweat of his rough, overworked body, he grunted, watching himself come all over me, as if he was marking me, making me as his. The sight of it made my womb clench. He pulled me on top of him, holding me there, and I rested my head against his marble chest, hearing his heartbeat a wild cadence. Such a beautiful sound after what had happened earlier.
"We probably shouldn't have done this here, out in the open."
I smiled, my cheek still pressed to his warm skin, although I hadn't seen another car or house in sight when he'd pulled off. He was probably right. We needed to be more careful, though admittedly, that had been part of the thrill for me. My hair lay plastered to my damp skin, the windows fogged with our intense fucking. "Devrick," I said breathlessly, every muscle spent and liquefied. "I'm scared."
"Of what?"
This is beginning to feel like more than just sex for me.
So? Why does this scare you?
Because I can't see past the void. And it feels like this is when things fall apart. The sting in my eyes was an irritating nuisance. I didn't want to cry in front of him. Not after this. My emotions felt like live wires bouncing on hot sparks. If you ditch me now, if you cast me aside...
Hey.
Fingers tangled into a tight grip at my crown, and he pulled my head back, staring down at me.
You don't have to be scared. I will never hurt you, Lilia. In fact, I'll rain hell on anyone who ever hurts you again.
I loved him. Every cell, every fiber of my being couldn't hide that truth. Even if I wasn't bold enough to say it or brave enough to risk the universe stealing it away from me, the words were as real as my fears. The words I kept secret like all my other trinkets, safely tucked away. Chapter 58, Lilia. Access denied. Frowning, I eased back in my desk chair, then clicked the button on my laptop to log in for registration a third time. The same error message returned. What the hell was going on? Trouble? A voice said from the doorway, and I turned to find Mel leaning against the frame with her arms crossed. While Gilchrist had promised not to rat me out, I still felt a sense of guilt from having given up her name. Just trying to register for next semester. And there's a problem? I froze, staring back at her, studying the amused expression on her face. Is there? Perhaps Daddy didn't like getting called out. What do you mean? Lilia Lippincott has a catchy ring to it. A sickening realization crawled over me. And it was then I knew exactly what Gilchrist had done. She'd traded one scandal for another. Muscles strained for the poker face I held in place. I refused to confirm something that hadn't actually been confirmed for me either. It was speculation, rumor. I didn't have a blood test to prove anything. I don't know why I thought I could trust you, Covington trash. What did you do? My blog has never been so popular as it is now. Over 4,000 hits in a matter of 2 hours. And next week's scandal is going to be an absolutely delicious follow-up. Provost's alleged daughter fucking Dr. Death. I don't know what you're talking about, I lied. She rolled her eyes, and when she yanked her phone from her pocket, my knees nearly buckled. The photo showed Bramwell's car, windows steamed up in my hand pressed against the glass. No faces, though. I don't know what you're talking about, I said again without so much as a twitch. Groaning, she zoomed in on my hand, and just below it, I could make out my memento mori tattoo on my forearm. Nobody else on campus drives a Maserati Ghibli. The idea that she'd spied on us, that she'd gone so far as to take pictures for a fucking scandal, had my stomach twisted up in knots. I'd always joked that Covington was home to the worst souls, but here, they were a different breed. A scheming, manipulative genre of human beings. Why? Seriously? You rat me out and you're asking why? She was withholding information on everything. My father, my mother. Ooh, fucking who? The way she mocked me sent an itch to my palm, the longing to haul off and smack her tempting my restraint. You tried to get me kicked out. Lucky for me, Lady Gilchrist was willing to strike a deal. Yeah, she struck a deal with me too, I sneered. Good luck with that. You're pathetic, you know that? You have no sense of self-preservation. It's fitting, though, you and Spencer as siblings, a whole pathetic family. Except that Spencer had told me that Lippincott wasn't his father. Not that I plan to divulge that information to the gossip-mongering bitch. Fuck you. Get out of my room. Seems it won't be your room for long, she said. And she slinked away like the snake she was, offering some reprieve from the smug grin plastered to her face. Spencer. For reasons I couldn't explain, I wanted to talk to him right then. I snatched up my phone and dialed his number. It rang and rang, and when it went to voicemail, I hung up and dialed again. Every nerve in my body quaked as I waited for the voicemail to kick in. Dean Langmore appeared at my door, flanked by two security guards in uniform. Confused, I lowered the phone, trying to imagine why they'd be at my dorm. Langmore adjusted his spectacles and crossed his arms in front of his body.
Miss Vespertine, I'll ask that you pack your things immediately.
The lingering stares of passing students had my cheeks burning while my body jittered into a shocking tremble. I'm sorry? I asked, my voice wobbling with his disorienting command.
Please pack your things. You will be escorted to the ferry immediately.
Escorted out? Out of Dracadia? You're expelling me?
Yes, Miss Vespertine.
Can I ask why? Langmore slid his glasses off and pinched the bridge of his nose.
Please don't make this difficult. Your ferry and train expenses will be paid, so no need to worry about that.
Worry about that? That was the least of my worries right then. I glanced around the room, not knowing where to start. I'd made this room my home, my safe place. Where did one begin with folding it up and packing it away? Tears wobbled in my eyes as I pulled my suitcase down from the shelf and began with my clothes, folding them neatly. Then I packed my books, pictures, trinkets, and the shell Devrick had given me. I wanted to call him so badly. And while I had his phone number, I feared contacting him, particularly while he was away on business. Who knew how this would all shake down? And the only thing that would have made me feel worse was the school finding out about us and bastardizing our relationship, punishing him for it. We'd avoided all communications over the phone, absolutely no paper trail with email. But right then, I wished I could have texted him, if for no other reason than to say goodbye. Once everything was fitted into my suitcase, I stood in the center of the room, tears blurring my vision. Langmore's expression held remorse, at least. He didn't wear the same smug grin that Mel had. And at least he'd offered me a small bit of dignity when he called off the security guards. As much as I wanted to, I couldn't call Jada. I refused to put my problem on her with the new baby. I had no choice. Grim as it might have been, I'd be forced to return to the apartment. Langmore led me down the corridor, which suddenly felt like a walk of shame, the way everyone stared at me. When we passed Mel's room, I didn't even bother to look at her. Could my expulsion have been a reaction to her blog? Had Lippincott gotten wind of it somehow? The sound of her snorted laugh as I passed grated on my nerves and something inside me snapped. On a capricious twist, I dropped my bag and suitcase and slammed my fist into her cheek. A scream tore out of her as she stumbled backward into the wall.
Miss Vespertine!
Langmore wrangled my arm as I drew back for another punch.
Let's not make a spectacle.
Adrenaline pounded through my veins as I breathed hard through my nose and took in the aftermath of what I'd done, where Mel lay slumped against the wall, blood already trickling out of her nose. Tears welled in my eyes as I gathered my things and we made our way to the elevator and down to the first floor. In silence, he drove me to the ferry dock, and as we stood in the cold boathouse waiting for my ride, he cleared his throat.
I didn't want this. Just so you know, Miss Vespertine, I am incredibly sorry.
Tears spilled down my cheeks. I didn't want this either. But wasn't that the way of happiness? Perhaps the reason there was always a black void on the horizon. Because I was doomed for loneliness. The train arrived at the abandoned station where I'd first set off for Dracadia, and as it chugged to a stop, I stared out the window to see the Uber driver I'd called. Thankfully, I still had cash left over from the money Devrick had given me. By the time I finally arrived back at the apartment, I was exhausted, both emotionally and physically. My phone had died halfway between the train station and the apartment, making the ride with the Uber driver a bit harrowing. A sickly dread churned in my stomach as I climbed the staircase to the apartment. When I reached the door, Connor opened it, wearing a look of sympathy.
Hey, kid,
he said, grabbing my suitcase for me. My eyes wandered cautiously for Angelo, the only thing that could make the unwanted homecoming worse. A horrible smell assaulted my nose, and as we passed the kitchen, I noticed a pile of dishes in the sink, discarded food containers and beer cans littering the table and floor.
Don't worry about all that. I'm gonna clean up. I just got home from work not too long ago.
I didn't say anything, as he led me down the hallway toward my bedroom. My gaze shifted to the right of him, toward the darkened hallway, and he glanced over his shoulder and back.
Still ain't found a roommate. Callahan decided to keep her own place. I don't want you to worry about anything, though. I'll take care of shit until you find some work, okay? Just, get yourself settled again.
He opened the door to the old bedroom, and for the most part it looked to be the same, like nothing had been touched, thankfully. Just emptier, since most of my stuff was still packed in the suitcase, but clean. I didn't even have the energy to unpack as I zombie-walked toward the bed. The bed. Not mine. Nothing in the apartment felt like mine anymore. I felt like I'd slipped into a stranger's world, trying to find comfort in a place that had become foreign to me. Dracadia was my comfort, my home. Not this. Not here.
Good to see you again, Lil.
Connor said, and the click of the door signaled his exit. With his retreating footsteps, I curled up on my bed and finally broke.
Chapter 59, Devrick. 2 hours earlier. Addict stumbled about as I prowled slowly through the streets of downtown Thresher Bay, along a strip known as Meth Mile. Makeshift tents lined the sidewalk, where the homeless shot up drugs and prostitution was rampant. Eyes scanning, I searched for my next test subject. Back at the lab, I'd administered the black tea to both Patroclus and Achilles, and watched as both moths, who'd previously returned to their paralyzed state, took flight again. Now that I had a method of sustaining the toxin's effects, it was time for a new test subject. To harvest fresh toxin with my most recent larvae, and attempt to produce a synthetic version, bypassing the need for human harvesting. I just needed a bit more of it. A brunette stood at the corner of Gratis and Vine Road, wearing a short black mini dress with high heels and a coat. It wasn't her choice of attire that told me she was a prostitute, but the way she immediately sauntered over and leaned into the passenger window of my car when I pulled up to the curb.
Hello, handsome. Please tell me you're looking for some company.
I couldn't bring myself to look at her and kept my gaze locked forward, staring through the windshield at the hundreds of others I could have chosen. It wasn't personal. I'd only opted for her over a drug addict because I didn't care to drag around a half-conscious body. I am, I lied.
Well, all right then.
The door swung open, and she slid into the passenger seat, smelling like rose perfume. Fuck, I hated that scent. Are you willing to go outside of the city?
Depends on how much cash you got, honey.
I lifted a folded stack of bills. $3,000 that she'd never get the opportunity to spend if she said yes.
I'm willing to go wherever you want, baby. For that much, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Surely that wouldn't have included infecting her with parasites. As she buckled herself in, I stowed away the cash in my pocket and took off down the road. On a bold move, she reached over, brushing her fingers across my groin, and I lifted her arm to set it back in her lap. Not while I'm driving.
You don't like roadhead?
I did, but only when a certain red-headed pain in my ass was giving it to me. Not particularly, I answered. I planned to get her on Dracadia Island, then once we reached the cadaver entrance, I'd anesthetize her and infect her with the larvae.
Fine with me. You let me know what you want, handsome.
I wanted to laugh at that, but an uncharacteristic guilt tore at my conscience. To some extent, killing had become natural to me. Biological, maybe even genetic, and, dared I say, fascinating to observe. Except for the fact that, unlike the others, she hadn't done anything to deserve my cruelty. She was innocent, and because of that, I took no joy in the thought of killing her. I didn't have time to shop around for my next subject, though. There was a small window of opportunity before the new batch of eggs would hatch, and with the information I'd received about Angelo De Luca, I might have never tracked the asshole down. When we reached the ferry launch, she sat up in the seat, looking around. It somehow reminded me of the day I'd taken Lilia to the old mansion. The innocence and curiosity.
We going on a boat ride?
Yes. You said you're willing to go out of the city, correct? Her brows winged up, and she looked back toward the dark sea.
You talking about the island?
Yes. I'm a professor there.
Are you now?
Whatever small bit of apprehension she might have had a moment ago faded for a wily grin.
Well, hot damn. Tonight is my lucky night.
Hardly. In the distance, the ferry boat approached, and I ran my hand through my hair and down my face. I couldn't do it. I couldn't fucking do it. Because all I could think about, all that mattered to me, was the girl. The beautiful girl with her autumn hair and eyes that reminded me of both the sea and the sky. And she was everything. The earth, the sun, the moon. the air I breathed, and the tenacious beat that kept my eroded heart pumping. What I felt for Lilia wasn't healthy. Beyond simple obsession, it was a sickening possession. Savage and rapacious, bordering on violence. Just as I was about to order the woman out of my car, my phone buzzed in my pocket, and I pulled it out to see Langmore's number flashing across the screen. The only time I received personal calls was when the asshole was about to do something I didn't approve of. "Excuse me," I said, stepping out of the vehicle. Once the door was closed, I answered. "Hello?"
"Deverick, it's Lang."
"Yeah, I know.
I'm calling because, well, I tried to call you in your offices, but there was no answer."
The passing seconds chipped away at my patience. "I'm busy."
"Right. I suspect you're going to be quite angry, and I want you to know I had nothing to do with this."
The shaky quality of his voice immediately put me on alert. "Nothing to do with what?"
"Lilia Vespertine was expelled. I don't entirely know the reason behind it, but I received an order from Lippincott to have her leave the premises immediately. And seeing as you were quite adamant about her remaining enrolled in your class, I thought I should make you aware."
I gnashed my molars, doing my best to reel in the urge to pound my fist through something. To hell with trying to keep the thing I had with Lily under wraps. I couldn't give a fuck at that point.
"And she was sent where?"
"Back to her home in Covington." "I want the address." He let out a huff.
"I find that highly inappropriate, Dev."
The anger exploded out of me. "Address, now."
"Very well, I'll text you her address. Again, please know I had nothing to do with this."
Through deep breaths, I clutched a small bit of control and tempered my voice. "I appreciate your call. I'll consider this kindness when I return," I said through clenched teeth. "Tell no one that we spoke, or by God, I will make you regret it."
"You have my word."
I hung up the call, and as the rage tore through me, I pounded my fist into the hood of the car. Exhaling a breath, I slid back into the driver's seat. Change of plans. I reached into my coat pocket and pulled the stack of bills, handing off 500. "For your trouble."
"You're canceling? Why?"
"Please, just get out."
"I said I'm fine. Go and..."
"Get the fuck out!" I barked and snapped my attention away from her. "Please."
"Fine. I'll get the fuck out, asshole."
She tucked the hundreds away in her shirt.
"You change your mind. You know where to find me."
The moment she exited the car, I fired up the engine. My phone buzzed with a text, Lily's address. When I punched it into the car's GPS, it showed some theater on Prather Street. "If you gave me the wrong fucking address, you're a dead man," I muttered, and I threw the car in drive. Hands shaking with rage, I dialed Lily's phone number, straight to voicemail. "Fuck," I growled and dialed again. Still, the call failed to connect. I tried three more times, each unsuccessful attempt only raising my blood pressure. After tossing the phone onto the passenger seat beside me, I flexed my hand to a tight fist and breathed on counts of four, a half-assed attempt to calm the rage brewing in my gut. The last thing Lilia needed, after the shit day she'd undoubtedly had, was for me to show up ready to kill something.
Chapter 60. Lilia. At a soft knock on the door, I opened my eyes that were sticky with dried tears. Darkness blanketed the room, save for the soft glow of Christmas lights around my window.
"Lil?"
Connor peeked his head inside the door.
"I'm gonna go up to Callahan's. She's got..."
"Connor, I know you two have something going on, okay? It's fine." His lips flattened and he rubbed the back of his neck.
"Was just... I didn't know if it was too soon after your mom."
"It's been 4 years. It's fine."
"Okay. You, need anything?"
"I don't think so. You're not planning to have Angelo over anytime soon, are you?"
"Nah, I ain't seen much of him at all. The guy is so fucked in the head after he heard what happened to that rich prick."
"What happened to him?" Part of me didn't want to know. While I'd always been peripherally aware of Connor and Angelo's shady dealings, I'd never dipped too much of myself into their business. It was a shadowy world I'd kept on the fringes, one that scared me. Not that I had much choice, anyway, the way Connor was so secretive about it.
"Had his eyes gouged, dick cut off. All of his guts were stretched out on the floor around him. Whoever did that was one sick bastard."
You told me the guy he killed was some kind of sadist. Not a saint.
Right. I'm sure he did worse. Anyway, I haven't talked to Angelo in about 2 weeks.
A small relief after the shitstorm I just went through. I'm just gonna sleep. Tomorrow I'll go out and see if I can find a job. The last thing I intended to do was stick around in the apartment all day, lamenting in my bedroom.
Okay. But again, I got you for a couple weeks, okay? You don't have to rush into something. I still feel like shit for B's tuition.
As he should have, but I kept that to myself.
How'd you get them to let her stay?
Just figured things out. She's good for a couple months.
Cool. Alright. You get some sleep.
With a nod, I rolled back over in bed, staring out at the night sky. I touched the screen of my cell phone, and when it remained black, I shot up in bed. Following the trail to the end of the cord showed that I hadn't bothered to plug it into the wall to charge earlier. Damn it. A low battery light lit up the screen when I shoved the cord into the socket. I fell back onto my pillow, sighing. Devrick, having left on business, meant not even he would have been looking for me just yet. But when he returned, what would he think? My mind drifted back to the day on the beach, when he'd taken me for my first dip in the ocean. The drive in his car along winding roads, the moments we stole away, the kisses, his touch. Would I ever see him again? Or would he one day fade into the perfect dream? I reached over the edge of my bed, and from my suitcase I pulled out my mother's painting of the swing in the ocean. Through a mist of tears, I stared at the view I'd hoped to one day make a reality for me and B. Even as brief as my visit at the house had been, it felt like home, my true home. I held the painting to my chest, and as the tears slipped down my cheek, my finger dragged over a lifted corner of the canvas's backing, where I must have shoved it too hastily in my suitcase. I ran the frayed edge through my finger and caught sight of something behind it. Stuffing my pinky into the small gap, I felt something inside. I tugged at the backing's loose corner, popping it free from the staples, and once peeled back enough, I found a folded paper had been secured to the inner part of the canvas. What the hell? I unfolded the paper to find a letter, signed by my mom, 2 weeks before she died. My sweet Lilia, if you're reading this, I either forgot about it, in which case I suspect we'll be having a lengthy conversation afterward, or my illness got worse and you're looking for answers. Either way, I suppose it was meant to be. I've spent hours, days, deciding how to go about telling you things I've kept to myself for a number of years. Important things. As my illness seems to be progressing, I feel compelled to leave something behind, and it wouldn't be fair to carry all my secrets with me. I'll preface this by saying that no one in this world is more important to me than you and your sister. Every decision I made, I did out of love for the two of you. That said, I've lied to you, my love, and I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me. While you've always known me as Francesca Vespertine, my real name is Vanessa Corbin. I was born on a small island off the coast of Maine called Dracadia, where generations of our family have lived. In fact, we are descendants of the first colonists, which would have probably been a cool conversation to have if my past wasn't so riddled with dysfunction. A year before you were born, I met a charming doctor who convinced me to join a study at the university to help cure my diabetes. We fell in love, but he was married at the time, so things were a bit complicated, particularly when I got pregnant with you, and he asked that I terminate the pregnancy. The mere suggestion of such a thing tore at my heart, and I refused, a decision that angered both him and my father. Your father threatened that if I decided to go through with the pregnancy, he would ensure that I'd never get custody of you. I was young and stupid and scared, so I fled with nothing more than the clothes on my back and cash in my purse. And the longer I stayed away, the easier it was to stay away, because having to explain nearly 2 decades of avoidance just seemed harder. The lies to protect you had snowballed out of control. Then about 2 weeks ago, I went home for my mother's funeral. I know you thought I was looking into surgery for B, but telling you the truth at the time was complicated. Again, forgive me. I only wanted to see my mother one more time and perhaps find a way to secure the home that I grew up in. A place where you, me, and B could live freely. Unfortunately, the house had gone into foreclosure and it turned out the new owner was your father. I should have walked away. I wish I had. I was foolish to think the years had made him wiser, had changed him in any way. I was wrong. He doesn't know about you. I lied and told him that I'd suffered a miscarriage and lost the pregnancy. Not because I didn't want you to have a relationship with your father, but because he's a dangerous man who can't be trusted. I lied to protect you, Lilia. Therefore, I won't give you his name. While I suspect you're smart enough to put pieces together based on what I have told you, I'm urging you to set aside your anger for me and stay away from him. Believe me, you're better off without him. In the event that I do not get well, do not seek him out for anything. You'll get through things, you always do. I love you and B very much, infinitely. And I'm so proud of you, my sweet girl. Love forever. Mom. Tears slipped down my cheeks, which I quickly wiped away as I frowned down at the letter. I suspected it was Lippincott she was referring to, even if she'd refused to say. She must have met with him about the house. The timing of it all, precisely just before she'd gotten sick. Could he have been the one to infect her? The sound of a hard thump somewhere in the apartment interrupted my thoughts. Muscles steeled, I glanced back toward the door, and after slipping the note and painting back into my suitcase, I tiptoed toward it, pressing my ear to the wooden panel. Had Connor returned? Cracking the door, I stepped out in the hallway for a better listen. Connor, is that you? No answer. Another hard thunk, and I jerked. I padded halfway down the dark hallway, ears perked, and scanned the kitchen and the small living room across from it. No sign of anyone. Cold tendrils of fear slithered across the back of my neck, and I dashed back to my room for my phone to call Connor. I swiped the phone, still charging on my nightstand. Only 10% battery. And sprinted back toward the door. When I swung it open, Angelo stood in the dark hallway, his form illuminated by the small bit of light from the kitchen. The air stalled in my chest and my stomach dropped. His hair stood at cocked angles of disarray, and the beard and mustache covering his face told me he hadn't shaved in a while. Red-rimmed eyes spoke of little sleep, or drugs, and he appeared thinner than the last time I'd seen him. On a frenzied beat of my heart, I pivoted toward the front door and dashed down the hallway in the opposite direction. Body slamming into the door with the momentum, I fumbled with the lock. Searing pain lashed my scalp as Angelo wrenched my hair back.
The fuck you think you're going, bitch?
A hard slam against my hand knocked my phone loose, and it bounced out of reach. I opened my mouth to scream, and a dirty hand palmed my face, his fingers digging into my cheeks. Scream muffled, I clawed at his hands and bit down on his thumb, hard.
Ah, you fucking cunt!
He released me, and I spun out of his grasp, standing face to face with him. He blocked the doorway, licking the blood from his thumb. My phone lay to the right of him. Adrenaline coursed through me in hot pulses while my mind scrambled for a plan. The knife. I tucked my pocket knife under my pillow earlier, and the fire escape sat right outside my window. I darted back toward my bedroom, Angelo's heavy footfalls chasing after me. The moment I entered my room, I spun around and slammed the door shut, pressing hard against the wood and reached for the lock. He plowed into the other side of it, kicking me back a step, and a scream shot out of me. I pushed hard, muscles straining to close it. Come on. Even in his weakened state, he was bigger, stronger. Abandoning the fight, I let go and scrambled toward my bed for the knife. The door flew open and Angelo crashed through on a curse. I held out the knife between us with a trembling hand. Leave me the fuck alone, I said on a shaky voice.
Lily cat, you always were a little fighter, weren't you?
Licking his lips, he stepped closer, and from his back, presumably his waistband, he pulled a gun.
Bring a knife to a gunfight? Well, it's just stupid.
What are you doing here, Angelo? You're gonna hurt me?
Yeah, I'm gonna hurt you. I'm gonna fuck you. Hard. And I'm gonna take that knife and slit your throat, 'cause, you know, poetic justice and shit. Then I'm gonna cut you up in pieces so I can carry your ass out of here without anyone getting wise.
How are you gonna do all that with Connor here?
Connor isn't here. He's been fucking that Callahan bitch every night. Got her knocked up, did you know that? Congrats. You're gonna be... something.
He snorted a laugh and scratched the back of his grown-out hair.
Guess it's B who's gonna be a big sis. But no matter. You were never really a part of things anyway, right?
Why? What have I ever done to make you so hostile, Angelo?
It's not about what you've done to me. Seems somebody at that school has it in for you.
Faces flashed through my mind. Gilchrist, Lippincott, even Mel. Someone from my school put you up to this?
Yep. Not gonna say who, though. It's a secret.
He whispered, pressing a finger to his lips and grinning. When he lurched again, I jerked the knife. Sighing, he narrowed his eyes on me.
I'm bored of this shit. I got a long night ahead, so what do you say we get started?
Angelo, don't. I know people. People who can pay you.
You don't know the right people. See, power is where it's at, Lilycat, and you ain't got that kind of pull in your corner. Taking you out means protection for me. Means I don't have to sit rotting in a fucking room waiting for death.
Meaning he struck some deal with someone to kill me. The question was who? He edged toward me.
Take your claws off.
No. My hand still trembled as I held out the knife.
Take your fucking clothes off, or I'll blow out your kneecaps.
He raised the gun, pointing the barrel of it toward my legs. A suffocating fear filled my lungs as I stared back at him. Don't do this, I whispered.
You know what a bullet feels like? It burns. And when it shatters a bone, there's nothing like that pain. So I'll give you to the count of 10. And then I'm going to empty this fucking gun into that body. If I gotta fuck you dead, so be it. Wouldn't be the worst thing I've done.
Beady eyes sharpened on me, his lips peeled back for a snarl.
1, 2.
Still holding the knife, I unfastened my pants and one-handedly pushed them to the floor.
Shirt,
he said. I shook my head.
3, 4. 5.
Uneven breaths shook out of me as I hooked the hem of my shirt and quickly yanked it over my head so I wouldn't get trapped in it. I crossed my arm over the lace bra I still wore. Eyes alight with a sickening fascination, he licked his lips, staring me up and down.
Panties, too.
A sob broke in my chest as I stood paralyzed, trying to wrap my head around what was happening right then. On a whim of adrenaline, I spun around and scrambled across my bed for my window. I only just managed to open it a crack before his palm slammed into my throat, knocking the air out of me as he took me to the floor. A scream tore from my chest, cut short by his hand pressing hard against my mouth.
Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up.
I swiped out at him, the blade connecting with his cheek. On a shocked jerk, he touched the wound I'd made there, wiping some of the blood, and eyes wide, he stared down at it as if in disbelief. With my hand raised for another strike, I swung toward his throat this time. He caught my arm before the fatal blow could land. A growl roared out of him, and he crushed my hand against the floor, the small shocks of pain zipping over my knuckles, breaking my grip of the knife. Over and over, he hammered my hand, crushing my bones. A flash in my periphery was the only warning before knuckles plowed into my cheek, vibrating my teeth. The jarring hit blurred my vision and sent a shooting ache up into my ear. The same hand that hit me clamped back over my mouth, his fingers digging into the ache he'd planted there. I screamed behind his palm, tears distorting his form.
I wanted you to be a little more lucid for this, but I guess it doesn't fucking matter, does it?
From somewhere below, he pulled out a small baggie with pills inside. I thrashed my arms and legs, screaming until my voice turned hoarse, and he pressed the full weight of his body over me, pinning me down. His hand slid from my mouth, and I clamped my lips shut. Fingers dug into my jaw, prying at my chin so hard I felt like he was trying to crack my bones. The gurgled sound in my throat snapped short when he deposited the pills into my mouth. He forced my lips shut and pressed both hands over my mouth and nose. The air waned, dizziness wobbled my view, lungs punching at my ribs for a sip of air.
Swallow it, bitch.
A sob cracked inside my chest and the pills slipped down my throat. I choked and gagged behind his hand, and only then did he remove the palm blocking my nose. I gasped for air and coughed again, the god-awful scent of metal clogging my sinuses.
That's it. You're about to get nice and fucking pliant in a minute. Just lay still.
A slimy tongue dragged across my cheek.
Relax,
he whispered. Something inside of me snapped like a fragile twig. Relax. The word echoed in my ear. In the haze of chaos inside my head, a vision appeared. Blood. The tub. I look up to see a dark form standing over me. Lilia! Lilia! The sound of my mother's voice reverberated off my skull and I flinched. The dark figure steps over me toward the tub, where my mother's slender legs dangle over the edge.
Her leg kicks.
She's alive. Alive? I thought she was dead, but she's alive. My mother. She was alive, I whisper, narrating the vision as it played in my head. Angelo paused somewhere in my periphery, more memories filtered in. Stay away from me, she screams. Pain throbs in my skull on jagged flashes of light across my eyes. The air is too thick to move. Mama, I rasp. The shadowy figure grunts, with his arms outstretched, drowning her. He's drowning her. My mother's leg stiffens, toes curled. I scream. Blackness. The loud gurgling of water draining rouses me, and I blink awake. I'm clawing at wet tiles, trying to get to her, but my muscles won't move.
Relax,
the shadow says to me, the smell of dirt and metal sticky in my sinuses. My throat tightens as realization stabs my chest. You were there that night. Even more echoes of memory filter in. Knock, knock, knock. I glance back toward the front door of the apartment.
I'm a friend of Connor's.
It was you at the door. Then I saw you drown her. You drown her. The smirk on his face blurred behind more memories. A figure runs a blade over my mother's wrists. Thick drops of red blood blink across the stark white tiles. You killed her. She was alive, but you killed her.
I was sent to finish the bitch off. Imagine my surprise when you beat me to it.
I stilled. An icy mist of panic expanded inside my lungs as I fought to absorb his words. A flash of memory slipped behind my eyes. Hands reaching out for me. Screams. Horrible. Screams. Eyes screwed shut, I shook my head. No, no, don't look at it. It's not real. Not real.
You don't remember much about that night, do you?
A wicked chuckle in my ear stirred demons from their slumber, teeth and claws snapping at my conscience. My stomach stirred with a horrible dread that scratched at my guts. Mama, stop! A distant scream rattled through my skull, and I let out a whimper as it picked at my brain like nails on a scab.
You're lucky,
Angelo kept on.
I'd have loved to forget those fucking disgusting things wriggling around the tub, feeding on her blood before I sent them down the drain.
Blood on the tub. My mother's fingernails digging into my skin, worms coming out of her like black smoke curling and shifting through the water. The blackness in my gut crawled into my chest, squeezing its poisoned, dipped fingers over my lungs. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't breathe. Mama, please. I can't breathe. I screamed and thrashed beneath him, the monster inside of me desperate for escape. Please.
Yes. You held her underwater.
She was still alive, I growled back at him.
Barely.
Liar. A fucking liar. No, you slit her wrists, the coroner's report. My voice trailed off, watching his lips stretch to a grin. Oh, God, you made it look... Angelo's laughter only goaded the panic rising into my throat, pulsing like a living thing, a dark and wicked beast that gnawed at my ribs.
That coroner was pissing his pants, making sure her death looked like a suicide. That's power, Lilia.
He let the tip of the blade scratch my cheek.
You passed out. Hit your head on the tub. Good thing, too. Made the whole scenario more believable.
The stench of dirt and metal clogged my throat as he leaned in closer to me.
I saved your ass, Lilycat. Between that and lying about your existence to Lippincott,
he said, inadvertently spilling the name.
I saved your ass so many times. You owe me that ass, and I'm sure as hell gonna take it.
Lippincott. It was Lippincott.
Best part of sticking around this shithole city was getting to watch you blossom into a woman. A woman I intend to break.
He held up my pocket knife, twisting it in front of me.
Some couples? They get matching tattoos. You and me? We're gonna have matching scars. Only yours ain't gonna be so pretty.
My body shook with the effort of trying to break from his grip. But he pressed his full weight on my chest, crushing my lungs. White-hot pain streaked along my face, from the corner of my eye to my jaw. I let out a hoarse scream behind his palm as tears slipped down my temples.
It's a shame, really. You were so pretty. Now you're a monster. A used-up fucking whore. Although I'm sure you were spreading your thighs for every college dick, weren't you? I bet you had a rotating door of dicks sticking it in that little pussy of yours, didn't you?
Fuck you. The drugs must have been kicking in as vertigo shifted my vision. That, or I was passing out, I couldn't tell. In my periphery, the room widened and shrank and spun. A drowsy warmth settled over me like I wanted to sleep, desperately needed to close my eyes. Through the haze, I heard a distant pounding. Angelo froze over me, attention turned toward the door.
Lilia!
That voice. I recognized it, deep, authoritative. A sob caught in my throat as more tears slipped down my temples. Deverick, I wanted to call out, please.
You keep your fucking mouth shut.
Angelo whispered, nearly crushing my jaw with his grip.
Keep your fucking mouth shut until he leaves.
No, no, Deverick, help me. Another pound against the door.
Lilia, it's Professor Bramwell. Are you there?
Behind Angelo's palm, I sniveled, coughing and choking on the snot gathered at my nose.
Professor, huh?
He said quietly.
You fucking a teacher, slut?
His hand snaked down to my panties, and he curled his fingers into a tight fist around my flesh, squeezing. A wild cry rattled my throat, the pain unbearable as I kicked to get him to release me.
Did he break you already? Huh?
Angelo said with a snarl. That was it. I needed to get him angry, mad enough to want to hurt me, to distract him from Deverick. I nodded. He fucked so good, I said behind his palm and laughed through tears.
The fuck did you say?
I intentionally distorted my voice again and forced a laugh. He removed his hand, squeezing my jaw instead.
Say it again, cunt.
He fucked me so good. A hard blow struck my cheek on a flash of light, vibrating the bones.
Whore!
He screamed over the ringing in my ears. Gripped tight to my throat, he trapped the air in my lungs.
We'll see how good it feels when I fuck you at the business end of my blade.
A gurgling scream sputtered up my throat. Pounding at the door grew distant beneath the blood pulsing in my ears. My body jerked and jostled as he gathered his arms beneath me, my limbs heavy and numb. Whatever he'd given me had rendered me useless and nerveless. He dragged me toward the wall with ease, holding me against him, my back to his chest, and he held out his gun.
Ain't nobody coming through that fucking door without me filling them with lead.
No. The minute Deverick appeared, he'd be shot. I couldn't let that happen, even if it killed me. I refused to let this ruthless bastard murder him in front of me. Fight him. Something caught my eye underneath my bed. My old trophy for track and field that I'd haphazardly thrown there while cleaning my room. Closing my eyes, I took in a deep breath. Fucking this up meant he'd surely kill me. Then Deverick. I had to be precise and fast, an impossible thought when my arms had begun to turn numb. Mustering what little strength I had left, I reached behind and gripped Angelo's nuts so hard my hands shook with the effort. A boisterous, gurgling scream hammered my ear, and the moment he released me, I fell awkwardly to the side, fighting the effect of the drug that had me feeling like I was swimming through quicksand. Ragged breaths raised my lungs as I dragged myself toward the edge of the bed, clawing at the floor. As my body got yanked backward, I snagged the weighted metal base of the trophy.
"Fucking bitch!"
Angelo bellowed, and as he twisted me around, I swung out with the momentum, knocking him in the skull with the heavy iron. He fell to the side on a thunk, groaning. A prickling weakness shot through my arms as I struck him again, bashing him square in the forehead. Blood seeped from his crown and over his temples as he rolled his head back and forth with heavily hooded eyes that made him look drunk. A curling black void seeped in from the fringes, crawling over me with determined fingers that slowly pulled me out of consciousness. Screams breached the darkness. Horrible screams. Mine? I couldn't tell. The noise fractured inside my head as I was once again hurled toward an inescapable silence. Blackness. Incendiary eyes stared down at me. Furious eyes that glowed a hot, molten copper.
Willia,
he said, his voice like a dark angel's. My avenging angel. Was I dead? I had to be. Blackness. Warmth engulfed me, a cozy heat. I curled into myself, falling deeper into sleep. Deeper. Deeper. Silence pulled me under. Chapter 61. Lilia. I turn to see my mother laughing as she glances back at me from the swing that overlooks the sea. I smile as she stares back out over the endless blue beyond. The swing slows to a stop and she hops off. Come on, she says, grabbing my hand. Come with me. She pulls me toward the cliff, and when we reach the lip of it, I stare down at my feet, towing the edge. Come, Lilia, jump. A ballooning tickle expands in my belly as I leap toward the water below. Wind blows through my hair. The sun heats my face. Down, down, down I fall. I open my eyes to the expanse of open sea. My mother is nowhere in sight. Frowning, I look around. The waves bobbing me up and down. An ice-cold fear settles over me, sucking the heat from my muscles. Mama? Something tugs at my foot, and panic spirals through my bones. I peer down through the water to below the surface where my mother reaches for me. Come, Lilia. It's so peaceful, she whispers through the water. Come stay with me. I flap my arms, smacking them against the water to keep her from pulling me under. No, Lilia, she pulls harder. An invisible force presses against my shoulder. Lilia! Lilia! I snapped my eyes open to a dark room and a hard clutching of my arm. On a gasp, I jerked away, but the grip tightened and I turned to find Deverick reaching out for me. Fear panted out of me on shallow breaths as I trailed my gaze over the unfamiliar room. The long dark drapes, furniture covered in white sheets, excessively ornate wall trim, and a fireplace mantle. Confusion lingered on my brain like a heavy fog, and I frowned, desperate to figure out where the hell I was and how I'd gotten there. I'd gone home, fell asleep in my room, woke up to Connor. An intense burn throbbed at my face. Memories snapped into place, and I gasped and touched my cheek, fingertips running over a rough, contractured surface. I shifted my jaw, flinching at the pain of having stretched it. I turned away from him, hiding what must have been a hideous gash.
You've been out for 2 days,
he said in a calm and level voice, taking a seat beside me on the bed.
I did my best with the stitches.
Through a wobble of tears, I touched the scorching ache again, the puckered skin that extended from my eye down to my jaw.
I wouldn't touch it too much.
The horrible memories that Angelo had dredged floated through my head, and on a sharp inhale, I remembered. I stared up at Deverick, silently pleading, as if he could take it all away, as if he could destroy and erase the monster that lived inside of me.
What is it?
He asked, and as he reached to brush a stray hair from my face, I winced, kicking myself away.
Lily?
My mom. Something inside of me begged not to say it aloud, because if I didn't say it aloud, maybe it would remain a lie. It would exist at the back of my head and return to the blackness where it had come from. That was how I survived, after all. I'd practiced telling everyone she'd killed herself over and over in my head until it became a reality. Until I could say the words without the flinch or a hint of guilt. While I now knew that Angelo had ultimately been the one to kill her, one horrifying fact remained. I'd held her underwater. I'd almost killed her first.
I suspect I may already know.
Lips forming a hard line, he lowered his gaze.
You talked in your sleep on the way back to Dracadia.
Silent in my thoughts, I stared down at my hands, trying to wrap my head around how I'd explain such a thing. What kind of child tried to kill her mother? It was a question I couldn't answer. I loved my mother. She'd always been my best friend, my home. She was my whole life. But what kind of mother tried to drown her own child? She was sick. So sick that she hadn't looked at Bea as the lovable teenager we'd known all her life. My mother had seen her as a threat somehow. The look of terror in her eyes when I'd caught her trying to drown my sister in the bathtub was a vision that would haunt me in the afterlife. And I desperately tried to stop her from hurting Bea that night. I'd done my best to hold her back, but she wouldn't stop. She'd bitten and pushed and fought like a wild animal in her determination to eliminate what she'd considered the enemy in her head. The monster. Why she'd set her sights on Bea to begin with was the tragic mystery of it all.
She tried to drown your sister. Yes?
Devrick's question broke through my thoughts. I felt numb, heartless. I nodded in response, a tear streaking down my cheek that I quickly wiped away.
Then it's not your fault, Lilia.
This isn't the same as you and your brother. I fucking held my mother underwater. Even if I hadn't been the one to end her life, I'd tried. I would have. Even then, I could practically taste the adrenaline that had coursed through me that night, the determination to make her stop.
You're right. It's not. But the fact remains, it's not your fault. You were trying to save your sister's life, and believe me, your mother would have killed her. I've studied these patients enough to know the way their minds work. What this parasite does to their brains. You saved B. Don't doubt that.
He reached for me, but I pushed his arm away. Arms wrapped around my stomach, I bent forward as the pain tore me apart inside. I loved my mom, I said on a choked sob. She wouldn't stop, though. I begged her to stop, and she wouldn't.
She wasn't your mother. Something else had commandeered her mind that night, and your sister got in the way of it.
I shook my head, refusing to accept this unwanted exchange. His clemency for what I'd done to her.
Listen to me. Was she the kind of mother who'd have willingly given her life to protect you from harm?
Yes, of course.
Yes. You did the right thing protecting your sister. Your mother would have wanted that.
No matter what semblance of truth that might have held, I would never pardon myself for what I'd done. He was right on one point, though. My mother was the kind who'd have done whatever she had to do to protect us. Even fleeing her home with nothing more than the clothes on her back. The fact was, the world didn't always play fairly, and sometimes we were placed in shitty positions we didn't want to be in, forced into decisions we didn't want to have to make. I'd had the choice that night, to watch my mother drown my sister or do what I had to do to save Bea. As I compelled my head to relinquish some of the guilt and push those thoughts back inside their compartment, a new anguish surfaced. I raised my hand, retouching the lower portion of the wound that ended at my jawline. Angelo, he tried to... My words were broken by the shame and panic clogging my throat. Through tears, I stared back at him. Can I see?
It's early yet, Lilia. It's going to heal.
Please. With a sigh, he pushed to his feet and opened the drapes a bit more, then plucked a sheet-covered object from what must have been a dresser across the room. He slipped the covering off to reveal a tabletop mirror and handed it to me. In the reflection, I took in the horrific line of tight stitches, perfectly spaced apart. The memory of Angelo holding me down as he'd carved it into my skin played back inside my head. And eyes closing over tears, I lowered the mirror and turned away.
It will heal.
Deverick reached out, and again I flinched away. Why? He hadn't been the one to hurt me, after all. Sympathy and understanding flashed across his face, which only made me feel worse as he lowered his hand.
It's going to take some time.
I'm not afraid of you. In spite of myself, I reached for his hand, holding it in mine. I was so scared. He told me that... Tears choked my words again. He planned to...
It's okay. You don't have to stay.
It seemed he'd said that for his benefit, as his brows came together in a troubled frown.
You were brave to fight him. My brave little moth.
He brushed his thumb over my temple. Is he... dead? A terrifying vacancy swirled in his expression, something feral and uncivilized, the way I imagined a shark might look upon its kill just before sinking its teeth into it. A cold and lethal glint that curled the hairs on my nape.
He won't hurt you again.
The words imprinted themselves in my head, as I tried to imagine what he'd done to ensure such a thing, and I dared myself to push forward and hug him. Do it, Lilia. An inexplicable wall of shame stood between us, though. For reasons I couldn't explain, I somehow felt at fault, like I'd taunted Angelo into hurting me. It didn't make sense. Nothing made sense. I felt like an empty husk, absent of the emotion I should have felt right then. The problem was there was too much at once, so much that I couldn't feel anything at all. Desperate for distraction, I trailed my gaze over the room again. This is your old home? The mansion you showed me?
Yes. I couldn't take you to my campus apartment, or the lab. There really was nowhere else. You'll be safe here, though.
I don't feel safe anywhere anymore.
You're safe with me, Lilia.
Tears slipped down my cheeks, and on a bold breath I pushed forward, wrapping my arms around him. He held me against him, shifting my body so my legs wrapped around him. Strong arms enveloped me in warmth, safety. We embraced for what seemed like an eternity, and with my head tucked into the crook of his neck, I lay staring, absorbing, processing everything.
I need to know what Gilchrist told you about your father, and please, be honest with me.
The question spun within the mire of thoughts inside my head, the weight of all the emotions pressing down on me. She told me my father was Lippincott. I found a letter from my mother that somewhat confirmed it, and then Angelo told me someone at the school had it in for me. I think he might have been the one to hire him. His brows came together in a mask of contemplation.
He hasn't trusted you from the beginning, not since he first saw you and realized who you were.
So what do I do? It wasn't like I had proof he'd tried to kill me.
You don't do anything. At the moment, he likely thinks you're dead.
How?
Before I excised his tongue, I had Angelo make a very convincing call to his contact.
The confusion must have been written all over my face. The Angelo I knew wouldn't have done anyone any favors.
I had a blade propped at his balls.
That might have been motivation enough. If it was true that Lippincott was, in fact, my father, his malice toward me made no sense. I know this is going to sound incredibly naive, maybe stupid, but I don't understand why. I wasn't going to ask him for anything, not money, certainly not any special favors. It doesn't make sense to me.
Your existence is a threat to him and his position. Should his wife find out about you, I've no doubt she'd leave him destitute. He's desperate to keep his position in the Rooks.
The Rooks? They're a secret society, right?
Yes.
His brows came together in a frown, and he unraveled my arms from his neck, urging me to sit beside him on the bed.
Lilia, there's something I need.
A buzz interrupted him, and he pulled his phone from his pocket, his frown deepening. What is it?
A notification from the security system at the lab. Someone tried to punch in the wrong code.
He kissed the top of my head, stroking his hand down my hair.
I need to find out what's going on.
You're leaving?
Could be students fucking around, but I want to be sure. Besides, you need more antibiotic cream for the stitches as well. I promise, no one knows you're here.
Exhaling a breath, I glanced around the dark room, imagining how creepy it'd look if he didn't return until nightfall. As if reading my mind, he said,
I'll try to be back in an hour, and I'll grab some food. I'm sure you're probably starving.
My stomach grumbled in response, as if it appreciated the acknowledgement. Okay.
I gave you a sponge bath earlier, but you're welcome to shower if you'd like. Just don't get your stitches wet.
I caught a glimpse of my suitcase propped in the corner, which he must have grabbed from the apartment. Oh God, Connor's going to freak.
I sent him a text from your phone, telling him you decided to stay with a friend.
Where's Angelo? A look of vexation knitted his brows as he turned away.
When I entered that room and saw you practically naked on the floor and blood everywhere.
A muscle ticked in his jaw.
Believe me when I say you don't want to know what happened to Angelo.
The blackness from before shifted inside of me. I somehow felt less alone, less heinous. He'd hurt Angelo for hurting me. Could Devrick have been considered a murderer for something like that? Who knew what Angelo would have done to me when he'd eventually come to? At the same time, I knew damn well what my mother would have done to Bea, had I not found her. I'd seen that glint of madness in her eyes. Had Devrick seen the same thing in Angelo? He'd told me he was going to rape me with a fucking blade, a fact I didn't bother to tell Devrick right then, given the way his jaw hardened to a harsh angle and those eyes blazed with a murderous gleam. Maybe it was best to count my blessings and understand there were certain justices in the world that went beyond what I considered fair and humane. Like animals. Lions who tore other predators apart for daring to threaten their prides. Was that what I was to Devrick? His pride? His untouchable thing? For the first time since my mother's death, I saw through the eyes of the victim. The one grateful to walk away. To be alive because someone had given a fuck, had been bold enough to do what needed to be done. In my ruminating over it, I didn't notice Devrick had fallen into something of a trance, staring off at nothing. Quiet at first, until at last he cleared his throat.
There was the briefest moment when I was running toward that room. Your screams had silenced, and I thought.
Lips pressed to a hard line. He flashed me a sullen scowl that tore at my heart. He shook his head, refusing to say it.
That was the first time I truly felt that something could hurt me, that I could be brought to my knees. I don't ever want to feel that again, Lilia.
Through another shield of tears, I nodded. I know that feeling well, I said, recalling the day at the cove when I thought I'd lost him. I decided to leave it at that, with the understanding that Angelo had chosen his path. His fate. He was a predator who'd happened to be cut down by a bigger predator, and in the case of my mother, she had challenged my love for her, my loyalties, by harming my sister. He pressed another careful kiss to my lips, urging me back onto the pillow beneath me.
Are you okay?
No, but I hope to be. As he stared down at me, the pain at my cheek flared with the memory of Angelo's words.
Now you're a monster. Nothing but a used-up whore.
Biting back another round of tears, I turned away from him. His finger hooked beneath my chin, drawing me back to him.
Don't hide from me, Lilia. You are no less beautiful than that day you walked into my classroom and stole my fucking breath.
It'll scar, I said, not only referring to the wound on my face.
It might, but it'll also serve as a reminder that you fought a professional killer and survived. You're stronger than you realize.
His words tunneled through me, and I gave a small nod, letting them smother Angelo's relentless whispers that looped through my head. He planted another kiss to my lips.
I'll return soon.
With that, he strode across the room and closed the door behind him.
Chapter 62, Devrick. Tension burned in my muscles as I drove back toward the university.